So the newsletter reporting that all photographs of the Queen have been removed from the MIO Stormont HQ. The newsletter's political editor, Sam McBride, with us this morning. Talk us through this, Sam. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephen. So some of your listeners will recall that about 3 weeks ago in the House of Lords, Lord McGuinness, the Ulster Unionist former Ulster Unionist MP and peer, told the House of Lords that a senior Northern Ireland Office civil servant called Lee Hegarty had been paid about £10,000 in compensation because he was offended at having to walk past portraits of the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh in Stormont House, which was his place of work. That was followed, Lord McGuinness said, by a decision to remove those portraits. So those were paintings, and they were replaced with photographs, some of which were of the Queen, and I think one of which, he said, was of the Queen meeting with the then Deputy First Minister, Martin McGuinness. He did not tell the House of Lords when this happened. There were all sorts of questions hanging after what he said. At the time, the Northern Ireland Office declined to get into this. It said that this was basically a personnel matter and it wouldn't be discussing something which was sensitive as it saw this. And so that was really where this sat for a few weeks. And we have now established that those photographs, which according to Lord McGuinness replaced the portraits, have also been removed and that there has been a decision taken that those are inappropriate in Stormont House and that those cannot be hung there. And those seem to have been replaced by landscape photos, which are not in any way political in nature. So the Northern Ireland Office really has declined to get into any detailed explanation for this. But what we do know is that the NIO Minister in the House of Lords, Lord Duncan, he was asked several written questions about this by the Ulster Unionist peer, Lord Rogan. And in response to those, Lord Rogan wasn't very happy about the responses, didn't think they really answered several of his questions, including whether this £10,000 had actually been paid to a civil servant and whether that had been fully transparent. But what he did say was slightly convoluted, but it seemed to be pretty clear as to what had happened. So he said that the Northern Ireland Office had, in line with the Equality Commission's advice, the Northern Ireland Office is sensitive to the display of, quote, posters, pictures, portraits, or other displays that are more closely associated with one of the communities, unquote.
So,
and that if I pause there just to put that in context, that would clearly take in, it would seem, a portrait of the Queen, and clearly she is more closely associated with one of the communities in Northern Ireland. However, it also just so happens that she is the head of state, and therefore there's a separate argument there. But he then went on to really clarify what had happened to portraits, which would seem, from his answer, to include portraits of the Queen. He says, "I can confirm that the department takes steps to ensure that no such images are displayed in Stormont House."
So the clear inference there from that, Sam, is that the Equality Commission have advised them they should take it down.
Well, that is certainly what I think lots of people reading that might think. Now, I spoke to the Equality Commission briefly last night. I think it's interesting that in the statement which they gave to us, they did not say in any categoric sense that a portrait of the Queen, in fact, they really did not say in any sense that a portrait of the Queen must be removed from a government building. What they did do was point me to two pieces of case law. These were tribunal decisions from almost 20 years ago where there had been workers in refuse departments or in the refuse department of Belfast City Council. They had both, the tribunals found, been unlawfully discriminated against because there had been portraits of the Queen in those premises. However, what the Commission was very keen to stress was that the individual context of each of these situations has to be taken into account. So, for instance, and I'm saying this rather than the Commission saying this, but it may well be that there is a significant difference between a portrait of the Queen being erected in a situation where it is intended to be a sectarian and provocative and threatening move against a member of staff with a government department, which, after all, is a part of what is officially known as Her Majesty's government, displaying the portrait of the head of state in a way which is much more dignified and proper.
So it is not for me to say whether a portrait of the Queen should be allowed in Stormont or not. It's for our listeners to give their opinion on that. But this is what, Sam, unionists who do come on, some unionists who come on the Nolan Show mean when they say that they feel their culture is being eroded in Northern Ireland that very, very slowly anything to do with unionism is unacceptable. This is what they mean when they hear things like this. And are they not entitled to a fuller explanation from the Northern Ireland office? And indeed, are the political parties, should they not be getting the answers on behalf of the people? Like, what does the DUP, for example, think of this? What's the UUP think of this? The TUV, Jim Allister, what do they think of this? So a portrait of the Queen can no longer be on a wall of Stormont HQ and just some type of, what is it? It's a two-sentence reply from the NIO, which doesn't really explain why. It hints. So the statement we've got: the government takes its obligation under fair employment legislation very seriously. We will not comment on individual personnel matters, nor will we comment on the specific comments made by Lord Rogan. Do you know what, to the NIO? There are a lot of people who, rightly this morning, will be expecting slightly more than that. This is a poke in the eye to unionists in Northern Ireland, Sam, is it not?
Well, I think that there are two ways in which this can be seen. If you look at it from a unionist perspective,
and I mean them not answering the question. I don't mean, and I'm not obviously making any comment on the portraits coming down. I'm saying an explanation not being given.
Well, I think that there has long been a unionist perception that the Northern Ireland office is not, and this is a unionist very much a unionist perception. I'm sure it would not be shared by a lot of nationalists, but there has been a unionist perception for many years, for decades, that the Northern Ireland office is not a part of government which is fighting their corner, which is arguing their case, which is trying to explain how they feel to the rest of government. Really, they see it in very negative terms, and this will add to that perception and the lack of an explanation. If there is a good reason why this decision has been taken, the lack of any sort of coherent explanation for that, I think, will add to that sense. I think there is a second issue here, and that is that we know that from all sorts of examples, people sometimes look at, if you like, hard cases, bizarre cases such as this, and they take the view that if this is what equality law leads to, then equality law is a nonsense. It should be scrapped. We can think of the Ashurst case and how lots of people reacted to that. What I was keen to get from the Equality Commission last night was whether this is actually a proper interpretation of equality law, or whether this is actually the Northern Ireland office having taken its own decision, a political decision, which it is entitled to take and explain, but trying to, if you like, hide behind the fig leaf of saying, well, actually, this is something that we were forced to do. I was quite struck by the fact that there was nothing in the Equality Commission statement, albeit they were very careful to say, we're not commenting on this specific case, we're commenting on the principles involved here, but there was nothing that said, this is just open and shut, it's very clear, you cannot do this in Northern Ireland, and there will be lots of other employers, I'm sure, thinking about this, other government departments, government quangos, all sorts of bodies who may be in similar positions or think they're in similar positions, wondering, what on earth is the law here?
And just one other story to touch upon, Sam, and then we'll come back to calls on this. We'll return to this story. But I see also in the front page of your paper, you're reporting the DUP's first openly gay councillor votes against flying the rainbow flag. What do you know about this?
That's right. This is Alison Bennington, who's a councillor in Antrim and Newton Abbey Council. There was a vote, as there have been at lots of councils across Northern Ireland, as to whether the pride flag, the rainbow flag, should be flown from council property. This was a motion that was brought by the Alliance Party. It was supported by lots of different parties, including the SDLP. It was ultimately passed by the council in a pretty close vote. But Alison Bennington voted with her colleagues in the DUP against this. And when my colleague Niall Deeney tried to speak to her about this, she really wouldn't discuss it at all. He asked her, and it was actually prior to being clear who had voted for it, he asked her, well, did you vote for it or against it? She wouldn't even say how she had voted on it. Now, as it turned out, it was a recorded vote. He was able to establish from the council that she had voted against this. But I think it's interesting in the context of what has happened here. Alison Bennington's election, and actually her selection by the DUP even before she was elected, has been a very significant moment in the history of the DUP. This is a signal by the DUP leadership that they are changing. But actually, since her election several months ago, she has, to the best of my knowledge, never done an interview, declined any request to comment. And some of that might be understandable to some people who think that she's been under very considerable scrutiny because of her sexuality, because of the nature of her beliefs of her political party, which she has joined, in the history there. But I think that in wider terms, now that she is a public representative, it's very difficult to see how she can go on just not answering questions as to what she is doing. Some people will like what she has done. Some people will not like it. But it is a pretty basic principle, I think, of public accountability for public representatives, that they explain what they have done in terms of how they voted and why they've done that.
Yeah, well, you know, the BBC's in an interesting situation, actually, asking questions of Alison Bennington being accountable around gay pride and the flowing of, well, it's actually not around gay pride, it's around the flying of the rainbow flag at the council. But I'll just make the point, the BBC Northern Ireland's in an interesting situation, asking people to be accountable when BBC Northern Ireland's participation in BBC in the Pride event, the Belfast Pride event, they've refused, Sam, to put up a representative on this programme or any other BBC outlet. And the BBC statement also does not address some of the fundamental questions that are still outstanding. For example, is BBC Northern Ireland still going to the Gay Pride event or not? Or is it the separate group of staff in Northern Ireland going? Declan Kearney's question, is the BBC, from he's the chairperson of Sinn Féin, is BBC Northern Ireland going to apply the same type of policy towards any type of Irish language protest? And the BBC ducking those questions. So if we ask Alison Bennington to be accountable around these type of these type of issues, it'll be interesting for us to try to explain to her why we would be doing so, Sam.
It sounds like you're getting ready to head upstairs and doorstep someone in the BBC in the broadcasting house. But I think lots of people will have all sorts of criticisms of the BBC. Some of those are valid, some of those are not valid. But I think that as a journalist who's outside the BBC looking in, I think one of the things that is incredibly healthy about the BBC is that it is people like you in the BBC are able to question what it's doing, are able to robustly challenge it. And where you're not happy with the answers, you're able to say that and say that we need more here.
We haven't got answers to some of the questions.
But I think one of the healthy things is that you're able to do this and there's no threat to you. You're not feeling cowed. Lots of people and lots of media organisations, whether broadcast or print, would not feel able to do that. So I think that is one of the reasons why the BBC is important. But yes, as a journalist, I think we are right to be asking what is happening here. Explain this, and in whatever situation, if these are either elected people or, in the case of the BBC, publicly funded people, they have a duty which maybe a private company doesn't have, not to hide behind very vague words and to be actually pretty clear and explicit as to what is going on, what they're doing, because they're acting in the name of the public.
Sam, the biggest nationalist party in Northern Ireland, their chairperson, and then I'll come back to this other story. But Declan Kearney is a significant political figure in Northern Ireland. He asked a question, publicly asked a question of the BBC about what policy BBC Northern Ireland would apply to Irish language marches or protests. And do you know how the BBC replied to that in our question? The BBC replied to that they won't, to the Nolan Show. The BBC told the Nolan Show that they don't deal in hypotheticals. Now, can you imagine if the Nolan Show got a response like that from any other company? So BBC Northern Ireland, whether they employ me or not, and this is your point, they'll get the same response from this programme to that. Are you serious? Are you for real? And is the public not entitled to a wider explanation around that issue?
Well, I think that Declan Kearney's question about what would happen if BBC staff were to march in BBC branded clothing with the acquiescence of the BBC, the agreement of the BBC management in a pro-Irish language act march. I think that was a very clever question from his point of view. It's also a very logical question. Some people will find one of those things controversial. Some people will find neither of those things controversial. Some people will find other things controversial. But whatever our personal views, clearly there are people in Northern Ireland who very strongly disagree about both of these things. And if you have journalists, particularly news journalists, obviously, who are reporting on this, I think it certainly makes it more difficult to report on that in a objective way, which is not just actually objective, but it's perceived to be objective if you're seen to be siding with one side or the other. So I can understand why he asked that question, and I can understand why the BBC maybe aren't too keen to answer that right now.
Okay. I'm blaming you for getting into this because you opened up about Alison Bennington being accountable, but sure. Sam McBride, thank you very much. Okay. 03030 80 55 55. Let's come back to our top story this morning. All photographs of the Queen have been removed from the NIO Stormont HQ. We're going to speak to the commentators, Chris Donnelly and Nelson McCausland, in just a second. Robert and Carrick Fergus, lots of your calling this morning, Robert.
Morning, Stephen. Thank you. Stephen, just on, the Queen is the head of the state, as far as I'm aware, and we all hear Sinn Féin going on about the respect the Good Friday Agreement. As I'm aware, the Good Friday Agreement says that Northern Ireland is British until voted not to be. So is that not respecting the Britishness? And this New Ireland they keep going on about, so if it's going to be for Unionists and British as well, does that mean that all things of Irish Republican members in the Dáil and places like that, if there is a New Ireland, will they all be removed? Isn't that the offend the British? And your man Haggerty got this £10,000.
No, we're not. There are reasons why we cannot go into that. There are live reasons why we can't go into that, Robert. So I want to give you a platform to be able to talk about, I guess, how you feel. And let's keep this on this. How you feel about the Queen now, any portraits of the Queen banned from NIO Stormont HQ. And again, another institution in Northern Ireland trying not to elaborate to the public as to why. Hinting around it and all of these little phrases around it and not just coming out and explaining to the people who pay their wages why.
They won't come out and explain it, Stephen, because it's too controversial for them. They don't want to offend Sinn Féin. That's basically what it is.
And how do you feel about this?
It's just an hour. It's just an hour poking the eyes. You explained it earlier on, the Unionists. It's just an hour thing, British. Take it away.
Is it equality in the workplace, Robert?
Is it equality in the workplace? Well, if that's the case, Stephen, I know it might sound stupid, but are they going to hand back the money with the Queen's picture on it? That doesn't offend them then.
And Charlie in Carrador. Morning, Charlie.
Morning, Stephen. Just wondering how you could be offended by a portrait of the Queen and work for Her Majesty's government. What causes that? What type of person feels like that when they knowingly go in to work for Her Majesty every day of the week? How do these people feel about their job?
Well, stay there, Charlie, because Fran North Belfast, you would be offended by a portrait of the Queen. Is that right, Fran?
Well, not the phrase that I would choose to say. I've never said it would be offended, but I do totally believe in a neutral working environment where people are made to feel comfortable and not made to feel uncomfortable. And
do you think a portrait of the Queen, Fra, would stop it being a neutral environment? And do you think the NIO is right now to be banning all portraits of the Queen from Stormont?
Right. The way I look at it is, the pictures, we live in a divided society.
Stormont buildings are
representative of the division that existed here, because I see this as a continuing colonial problem. I see the Northern Ireland office as a colonial office, and I see pictures of the Queen as the head of state and the monarch as a continuation of the visual representation of the colonisation of the north of Ireland. And I think to work and to live in a neutral environment, those symbols should be taken down where everyone can feel comfortable to go to work, working on behalf of the rest of society.
There's a suggestion in this newsletter article, Fra, that there was a picture of the Queen and Martin McGuinness when they met that was up, and that's now been taken down.
Okay, well, I assume that is just, I mean, if we follow the concept, and I don't want to labour the point of repeating myself, but a neutral environment is one that should not have representations of persons of the state who are not seen to be inclusive of society. So, I mean, you can't have, you know, you can't say take them down to the Queen and leave them up on Martin McGuinness. It could potentially, you know, have historical...
But it was the Queen meeting Martin McGuinness. It was both of them together.
Yes, mate. But sure, what if...
But how's, that, so how's that, that, how's that, means, that, even if you want to... If you do want to embrace what you're saying about that, if there was a portrait of the Queen, then it's not a neutral environment. So if you have both, if you have representatives from both communities represented, how's that not neutral?
Well, it doesn't. Like,
is it going to get to the stage in Northern Ireland where you can only put up a picture of a parrot?
don't put up any pictures. Have a neutral environment where it just says, you know, we are here to work on behalf of society. Guys, let's do a good job and work for the benefit of everyone and not be divisive and not have policies or anything. I'll tell you quickly.
Is the picture of the Queen and Martin McGuinness not an illustration of let's work together?
It is, but that is not the place to put it up. So if you're telling me that that handshake, that historic handshake, was a way of showing that the old animosities of the past were being buried, no pun intended here, with our history. If that's what you're saying, I understand that, but I still don't agree that the right place for that is in government buildings or in police stations or in civil service offices or in the brew or anywhere else. Keep them neutral. Have, it's not only the people who work there, it's the people who visit the premises as well.
Charlie, how would you respond to that?
I don't want some of it's welcoming.
Charlie, how would you respond to that?
I understand where he's coming from, but I would disagree. Say, for talk's sake, Stephen, the Irish government owned an embassy in Belfast, and I had the qualifications to do the job. I applied for the job and got the job. They would have tricolours, you know, emblems of Irishism, and pictures of the Taoiseach up in their office. I would go into that environment understanding that that's who they are. And I would say, fair play, I hope he's a nice man, nice flag, whatever. I wouldn't walk in and demand, right, I'm in here now, get this all down, or I will be offended and I will sue. It says a lot more about the people who are offended than it does about the pictures. I think that picture between the Queen and Martin McGuinness should be plastered across the NIO, because that is a picture of hands across, you know, divide and unity and friendship. And let's work at this. It shouldn't be a picture of division. You'll only be offended if you want to be offended for a political reason, Stephen.
And just to be clear, we are not talking about anybody this morning who has sued, nor are we going to. We are talking about a wider point here,
yep,
which is what do we think is acceptable, Stephen, in buildings in Northern Ireland. Let me bring in Nelson McCausland, if you don't mind. Unionist commentator, Chris Donnelly. Morning to you, Chris. Morning, Chris.
Morning, Stephen.
Morning, Chris. Morning, Nelson.
Good morning.
Good morning. Chris, what do you think? Is a picture of the Queen in Stormont HQ really offensive to a lot of people in this community?
Well, I think, Stephen, this comes back to fair employment legislation. I think that's the starting point, is to ask ourselves, why did we need fair employment legislation in Northern Ireland in the first place? And the answer is simple. It's because for generations in society, there was active discrimination against Catholics. That has had an enduring legacy. If even to this day, if you look at all the objective measures of deprivation in Northern Ireland, show that Catholics continue to disproportionately predominate the poorest areas in this society. And that part of that culture wasn't just discrimination against Catholics. It was also the culture around many workplaces. I mean, for many years, you still see the photographs of many workplaces around the 12th of July would be bedecked in loyalist flags, union flags, God Save the Queen banner, red, white and blue bunting. And that's why we moved towards the fair employment legislation that was implemented in Northern Ireland, which to try to create neutral workplaces. Now, if you look at what the NIO was saying in the statement, which, you know, Sam McBride has in the newsletter, it's very clear that they're saying that, you know, the NIO has to be sensitive to display of posters, pictures, portraits, or other displays that are more closely associated with one or the other community. Now, by any measure, the Queen is associated with Britishness in Northern Ireland just as much as certain individuals would be associated with Irish nationalism and republicanism. So it obviously makes sense that, you know, in order to try to foster a neutral working environment, that steps were going to be taken within the NAO. You know, what are the callers made reference to?
You say that makes sense, but does it make sense in your mind that when some unionists do argue that, look, things might change if Northern Ireland is no longer in the future, hypothetical, obviously, part of the United Kingdom, but it currently is. Do you understand, Chris, how people feel that by just step by step, their unionism is being eroded? That's the claim from some of our callers on this programme.
Yeah, and I take it, and that was the next point I was going to make, because you yourself actually made reference at the start of the programme to people feeling their British culture was being eroded. Now, my Irish culture is not eroded because there's not statues of Republican leaders in every civic premises across the North, or there aren't portraits on the walls in every public workplace of Republican figures. My Irish culture is not eroded because of it. We cannot seriously suggest that British culture is being eroded when all around us I mean, within Stormont, for goodness sakes, the two co-founders of the UVF both have statues, Carson and Craig. And there are plenty of other portraits and statues and the likes across many civic premises, which would be figures who would be regarded of importance within unity.
But does it, and Nelson, I'll come to you momentarily, but does this not start to then get ridiculous, Chris? Let me give you an example why. So the NIO have now decreed there can be no picture of the Queen, okay, in their base in Stormont. How come then the placard for the NIO, their actual nameplate that is up in that building, has Her Majesty's Government, the Royal Coat of Arms, on the crest? So it actually has, the Royal Coat of Arms is the official coat of arms of the British monarch, currently Queen Elizabeth II. So is the NIO going to change its nameplate now? Because that, how can they possibly not? If they've taken down a picture of the Queen, how can they have on their building in Northern Ireland the coat of arms of the Queen, of the British monarch?
Well, I'd say that must be, I mean, that's part of their emblem, as you say. I mean,
so why don't they make their emblem? Why don't they make their emblem neutral in Northern Ireland?
Well, I mean, I think part of this story, Stephen, is that, and it was always contained within Sam's, and we're getting more and more information. I take the point that you've made earlier about the NIO are making themselves accountable to discuss this issue. But what seems to have happened is the portraits were only put up in 2012. So there wasn't even a historical dimension to it. These portraits were put up in 2012. Now, that would have, I would imagine people working, you know, from whatever political background I have, would have noticed that and said, what's going on here? Why all of a sudden, when in Northern Ireland, we've moved away from a culture of almost, you know, identifications, identifying certain workplaces with politically, with people or emblems associated with one community or the other. Did this happen in 2012? I'm led to believe from the article that the then Secretary of State Owen Paterson had asked for it. And I would imagine that is where the difficulty arose with regard to this specific instance.
Nelson McCausland?
Well, I think it's an indefensible decision by the Northern Ireland Office, and what they're now doing is trying to defend the indefensible. Sam McBride really covered, I think, all of the core points there, insofar as he referred back, as was the case with the Equality Commission statement, to the cases in Belfast back around 2000-2002. And he's right that those were cases where I think employees had erected or put up pictures in their workplace themselves. And I think the view was that time by the equality authorities that this was unnatural, it wasn't appropriate in that place. What they never said, was that there were no situations in which it was neither natural or appropriate to have a portrait of the Queen. And if we are dealing with Her Majesty's government, if we're dealing with the Northern Ireland Office, which is part of Her Majesty's government, it would seem very natural to have a few portraits of the Queen and, as head of state. She is someone who is highly regarded.
And yet, Nelson, the NIO are clearly inferring in this statement, it doesn't shout it out, but they say the government takes its obligations under fair employment legislation very seriously. In other words, they're saying this would be a breach of the law if they kept the Queen up in Stormont. Yep. That's what they're hinting at, clearly.
You're absolutely right there. That is what they are implying. But if you look at what the Equality Commission actually said, it doesn't really back that up at all. And there are a lot of spurious claims that are made about whether it is appropriate to have a particular symbol or emblem in a certain place. We had two cases there not so long ago where, in relation to the flying of the Union flag, courts ruled against the complainant. On both occasions, the cases were thrown out and overruled. So there are a lot of claims that are made. And I think what we have is a rather weak regime in the North Ireland Office, which has simply rolled over in a situation such as this. The Queen is highly regarded and highly respected. Just look at the affection that is shown towards Her Majesty.
And there are some,
no matter where
in
the world,
and there are some, whether you like it or not, Nelson, who do not feel comfortable in the workplace. They do not think it is a neutral workplace if there is a photograph of the British monarch in their workplace and they do not see themselves as British.
And certainly it is obviously the case that there are some people who do not regard themselves as British. But the fact of the matter is they do live in the United Kingdom. They are working in the United Kingdom. This is a workplace that is particularly associated with and is part of the government of the United Kingdom.
If we think,
and just as I would expect that if I was in Dublin to see, as I a few occasions have been, in buildings that were related to the government of the Irish Republic, departments down there, you see symbols and emblems. That's natural. And simply here in this part of the United Kingdom, as in every other part of the United Kingdom, a similar situation should prevail. The regard that there is for the Queen, even in nationalist areas, there's always an interest in the royal weddings. There's an interest in royal visits. There is an affection towards the Queen that is really, really strong and, in fact, unique. I can't think of many other heads of state for whom that similar affection would be shown.
OK. Chris Donnelly, Nelson McCausland, thank you very much.